Welcome to Philadelphia Focus. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today from Philabundance, we have Melani Cataldi, the Chief Impact Officer for the group. Melani, thank you for coming in today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, we'll see how you feel about that after 30 minutes. So let's get started with the obvious. What is Philabundance for anyone who is not familiar with it?
Well, Philabundance is the region's largest anti-hunger organization. We help to distribute food to people who are hungry in 9 counties in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. And we do that through a network of agencies that we work with. So food cupboards, shelters, emergency kitchens. And we've been doing that for about 35 years. So for example, last year we distributed over 26 million pounds of food in our area to people that need help.
You're not the food shelter. You supply the shelters. You're a gleaner and a collector.
That's
and a
right.
warehouser.
That's right. That's right. With the help of our volunteers, we actually are kind of the logistics behind the scene. We help to get all the food and then get it out to the agencies that are doing the on-the-ground work, the really grassroots work of feeding people.
From this show, I think everybody knows that we are a poor major city and we are an old major city. Do you want to just frighten us with some numbers here?
Oh, I'll start even bigger than that. So we are an affluent country, and yet for rich countries, we have among the biggest income inequality between those who have and those who don't. And partially due to that, we have the largest amount of adverse health incomes, especially in children. So as a country, we have so many resources, and yet we have so many people in need. And when you look at hunger, 1 in 8 across the country need help with food. 1 in 5 in Philadelphia. That's an astounding number. 1 out of every 5 people you come across who could look like the person sitting next to you may have to make choices between food and prescriptions, food and rent, food and heat, the types of things that people should not have to choose between.
When we talk about food insecurity and hunger, do you want to give us some definitions here? Because when you said that about you don't know about your neighbor, you don't know about the kid sitting next to that kid in a school row.
Right. So these are people that don't necessarily know where their next meal is coming from. They may have enough resources for lunch, or the child may get school breakfast or lunch, but the family may not have enough to feed everybody at the table for dinner. Or they may have enough for this week, but they may run out of resources by the end of the month and not be able to provide enough food. Or the food that they're providing isn't healthy. A lot of times people are forced to make choices of food that is accessible to them in their neighborhoods. And we know that in lower income neighborhoods, the food that is available is not fresh, it's not healthy, and it's very expensive. That's often why people just go to fast food, which we know is not good for kids. So we've got people in our community that are making these hard choices between what they have to spend their limited resources on.
And this comes up all the time. We're talking about intergenerational situations where it's passed on from one generation to the next.
That's right.
This issue.
That's right. So both wealth and health are passed on from generation to generation. And what that means is resources or lack thereof, how to get by with a lack of resources, and then adverse health conditions, diabetes, heart disease, we're seeing in younger and younger children. So those things are passed through by generations, and then behaviors and habits are passed through. And by the time you add all that up, what you've got is not a problem, Laura, a crisis in our area.
Well, you've got poverty working for you. And again, you have no access to that tomato or that beet or an eggplant.
That's right.
Then the next generation does not know it as anything but ketchup or maybe hummus at a special event. And you get further away from understanding nutrition to begin with.
Or we assume that everybody's got cooking oil in their pantry, so they should have the things that they need to make vegetables, but they don't.
That's true. You give someone an eggplant, and if you don't have a working stove, if you don't have a pan, if you don't have some oil or some seasoning, what good is that to you?
That's exactly right.
Philadelphia, while hunger is actually slightly decreasing across the country, isn't it going up in Philadelphia?
It is. Philadelphia is the poorest big city in this country. We have 26% poverty, and almost half of those people are living in what we consider deep poverty. So less than $1,000 a month for an entire family for food, rent, healthcare, everything that they need. That's not a lot of resources.
When you talk about a family, we are talking about, it could be a blended family. It could be grandparents through great-grandchildren.
That's
it could
right.
be a mom and dad. It could be, but it's a group.
That's right. And it's often families that have one, if not both, working people in the house, but they are just underemployed. So folks that are not making a living wage, or they're not working full time, or they're trying to piece together several jobs just to make ends meet.
It's the working poor.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. And so Philabundance has been helping to feed people for 35 years. And last year we helped to feed about 90,000 people a week. But Laura, there are more like 700,000 in our service area that need help. That's an astonishing number. And we're not likely to get 8 or 9 times the amount of donated food. So Philabundance realizes that although it's extremely important to keep feeding people every day, and we will continue to do that, we have to look for longer term solutions. Even if we could get enough food to feed people today, we'd have to do it again tomorrow. We'd have to do it again next week. We'd have to do it again next month and next year. So the traditional food banking model isn't going to solve the problem. So what Philabundance has done, we're taking a bold step. We've got a bold new initiative called Ending Hunger for Good. And we've actually reorganized our entire organization. We developed a new department with resources and staff that are focused on cross-sector work. It's Food Plus. So Food Plus Healthcare, Food Plus Housing, Education and Workforce Development, Financial Literacy. And it's not that Philabundance is going to provide housing or healthcare. We're going to work with the experts in those areas so that together we can get at joint outcomes. We care about food insecurity, but it could be and stable housing. It could be and healthy weight management for kids.
Now, we're going to parse that out.
There's a lot there.
There's a lot there, because you have a phrase, we're going to shorten the line.
That's right. We've been feeding the line for 35 years. It's time to start shortening the line and helping people get out so that they no longer need to go to a food cupboard to get their food.
And obviously, you're going to continue to provide for all of these shelters, et cetera, that do provide for those that, the elderly.
That's right.
Yes. Anyone who's using the food cupboards. But so what we're trying to do is bolster the family's employment resources.
Right, right. Research actually shows that it takes very little in a savings account for a family to be able to be financially stable enough to put food on their table. So it's as little as $250 to, say, $750 of either money in savings or access to credit. That's enough for a person to withstand a financial shock, say a healthcare bill or their car breaks down. They have enough resources to get past that shock, stay employed, and keep food on the table.
So that's the food or rent dilemma,
right?
For
that's
so
exactly
many.
That's exactly right. So our first pilot that we launched about 2 months ago, actually on Valentine's Day of all days, is a partnership with Habitat for Humanity of Montgomery and Delaware counties and the Pottstown Cluster of Religious Communities, which is one of our strategic agencies that we've worked with for a long time. And we started a small pilot. We started small on purpose, where we're providing food through the Pottstown Cluster of Religious Communities. And they're identifying folks who are food insecure, so families who are food insecure. Those families sign up for financial literacy counseling through this program, and they went through 6 weeks, twice a week, of financial literacy counseling. So what is that?
I was going to ask you that, to describe exactly what they are learning.
Right. So that's, how do you open up a checking or savings account if you don't have one? How do you manage debt? How do you make a budget and stick to it and prioritize your expenses? How do you access all the resources that are out there for people who are struggling, but you may not know about the resources that are out there? It's actually teaching people to put together a plan, an individual plan for their household, And during that time, so they're getting meals when they come to class, there's childcare provided, we're trying to make it as easy as possible. The classes are in the evening so that folks can come after work if they're working. And the idea is that by the end of 6 weeks, they've actually got a plan to get financially stable. And then that's just the first part, right? So they graduate from the counseling and then they're given more case management and their own financial counselor for a minimum of 6 months. And the counselor will call on them and make sure that they're putting their plan in place, help them with resources, answer questions, just help them actually implement what they just learned. And all the time, the families are still getting case management around housing. They're still getting food resources, whatever it is they need to remain stable so that hopefully 6 months out, they've actually started to implement this plan and we're starting to see some stability. And then we will measure them 12 months out and 24 months out to see if we've actually gotten them to be financially stable enough that they are food secure without the pantry help.
So it's becoming food secure that we are looking for.
That's right.
For these individual families.
That's right. So PhilAbundance will always focus on food security and hunger. Our partners may be interested in healthcare. They may be interested in housing or financial literacy. But at the end of the day, we're trying to stop the trade-offs between food and.
And if you're just joining us, this is Philadelphia Focus. I'm Laura Lewis, and today we are talking to Melanie Cataldi. She is the Chief Impact Officer for PhilAbundance. And if you'd like to learn more about what we are talking about today, philabundance.org. philabundance.org. If you'd like to reach out to Melanie, though, and we will be talking about partnerships and opportunities to get involved, reach out to her at endhunger@philabundance.org. So they have a financial plan. Now, that implies that money is coming in. So you're obviously partnering with employment training, job training programs.
That's right, education, workforce development. Yep.
Right. Are we also looking to buy them time to educate or to maybe brush up on work skills, their English, et cetera, so that they can find employment?
I'm so glad you asked me that. So the answer is yes. And again, every family's different and everybody's employment situation is different. But here's a perfect example of how PhilAbundance is actually addressing that. We have a program called the PhilAbundance Community Kitchen. It is 20 years old. It's actually how I started with the organization. And it's a culinary arts job training program for folks who are low or no income. Well, what does that mean? It's folks who are 18 years or older and may have worked but do not have a steady employment history and or are underemployed. And so they're not making a living wage. Probably 75% of the folks that we're working with right now are returning citizens. So they are reentry citizens who are coming out and trying to find skills to really have a meaningful and full life and be stable on their own. So our program teaches life skills, it teaches job readiness skills, and it teaches safe food handling and culinary arts. So folks that graduate from the PhilAbundance Community Kitchen generally graduate with a ServSafe, Safe Food Handling Manager Certificate, which is not easy. I had to do it myself. It is not for the faint of heart.
And that's an employment bonus.
That's right.
If you walk in the door at a restaurant or any place that handles food, you actually need someone with this certification, don't you?
That's right. If you're serving food, you have to have somebody on the premises at all times that you're open that has this certificate. And it is usually the manager. So for us to have folks coming out and starting with that certificate is great. So we've been working with employers and we've had over 900 people come through this program. We've got them employed all over Philadelphia and some out in the counties in restaurants and healthcare settings and schools and shelters. We've now got graduates hiring graduates. And the important point is we don't just train folks and help employ them and then walk away. We follow them for a minimum of 2 years. We'll stay available to them forever, but we stock them for a minimum of 2 years to make sure that they have the resources that they need and that they have the help and the coaching that they need to stay employed or get reemployed or grow their income, grow their wage. And in fact, the employment rate at this point is 75% coming out of our program. and it's 70% 2 years out, which is really high. That's a great number for folks that didn't have a stable work history. And the program has been so successful that we're actually expanding and looking to grow the program. And the public will be hearing an announcement within the next month or so about how Phil Abundance is going to do that. So stay tuned on that, but we're very excited.
And for anyone wondering, reentry, we're talking about the formerly incarcerated.
That's right.
Who have so many strikes against them just getting in through the door at so many places to get a job. And so having this certification is...
It's big.
It's huge.
And really, with anybody that's had a spotty work history for any reason, and there are a ton of reasons, they just need a little bit of help and a little work around behavior change. So what does it take to actually get a good job and keep it? You have to show up every day, on time or early, ready to work as a team. You may or may not like your boss. You may or may not like your team members. But you need to show up physically and emotionally and be ready to work. And our folks that graduate are ready to do that, whether they choose food service or not, and are actually getting jobs and keeping them. And then we hear the great stories, Laura. It's about not only being employed, but now my kids see me employed. Now I've got a house. Now I've got custody of my children back. All sorts of great things that come with stability. And that's the goal.
And of course, that breaks the chain of the intergenerational poverty.
That's right. That's right. If I could tell you about the families and the kids who watch their parents or their grandkids graduate from this program with a job, it's a 14-week program right now. And the last 2 weeks are an externship where our students get to go out and work for free for other food service employers who are our partners. And so we have partners who hire right out of the internship program. By the time students graduate, often they're employed, and we have employers sitting in the audience cheering them on. Can you imagine what that feels like to somebody who was incarcerated for 10 years, wasn't sure how they were going to get their life back on track, goes through this free training, goes through the externship, gets a job, and has their employer cheering them on as they get their graduation certificate, probably the first one they've ever had.
And when we talk about the next generation, it's not just seeing a parent succeed, but having a stable home, right, and having food on the table. We've talked about this before. Food insecurity is a trauma, and that's an ACE for a child.
That's right. That's right. And so that's why Phil Abundance is really starting to partner around healthcare and what we call the other social determinants of health, because the challenges that these folks face never happen in a silo. They're never just struggling with food. They're never just struggling with housing. And so it's going to take an integrated approach. And poverty didn't happen in a year. Intergenerational poverty didn't happen in a year. It's not going to be solved in a year. But it's also not going to be solved by public and private organizations working in silos. And that's why Phil Abundance has decided to do this important work across sector, convening or being at the table with other organizations that are trying to help the same people that we are around healthcare, around housing. So we've been meeting with a lot of potential partners. We are looking to pilot one or two more programs this year, and at least one of those will be in Philadelphia, and it will be big. I will tell you from the partnerships that we're looking at that it will include not only food, but housing and healthcare and financial literacy. And that's exciting.
And what kind of organizations are you looking for at this point? Obviously, you mentioned healthcare.
So we have met with Jefferson Hospital System and Einstein. We have a partnership at CHOP right now where they have a healthy food pantry for children, and we supply the food. And it's actually part of a weight management clinic. And this is interesting because what they realized is when kids who are struggling with weight challenges and often diabetes, they come in to see their normal practitioner. Their practitioner doesn't have enough time to really spend with them to educate the children and the parents about what type of food they should be buying and eating and preparing and how to prepare it. So CHOP opened up a healthy weight clinic with staff that are focused on children coming in and can really spend the time with them. And then the food that Phil Abundance provides is the healthy food that's available to families when they come through the clinic, along with recipes, demonstrations, that we're looking to start around how to prepare healthy food. That's the kind of partnership we need to be involved in.
You know, and healthcare workers see so much more of a family's situation, visiting nurses, partnering with attorneys, et cetera.
That's such a good point.
Well, healthcare workers or social workers who get into the home identify, though, so many of the problems that lead to food insecurity, rent issues,
asthma
problems, health problems with the home itself, immigration issues, so many things that impact their ability to get food and
put it
on the table.
And the important point that you said there is healthcare workers going into the home. And so part of our strategy is how do we meet people where they are, right? How do we get the food to where they are instead of having people need to go to a pantry and then get on a bus to go for some healthcare resources and then get back on the bus, probably with kids in tow, to pick them up from school and go to another appointment? How do we meet people where they are? And furthermore, how do we work with the people that they already trust, right? So we have organizations that have healthcare workers or case managers who are already working with these families and the families already trust them. We should be partnering our food with those healthcare workers, with those visiting nurses, with those healthcare organizations who have case management, so that we can do that together. The families already trust the provider and the healthcare worker, and we can provide more resources. And then, even as important, start measuring longer term outcomes. So when we provide the case management and the food and the healthcare, can we actually get kids or people to be healthy and start the intergenerational, generational track to look differently?
And when you mentioned measurement, I'm going to guess that other agencies have to be looking at this. Fill Abundance always leads the way. Its programming always seems to be on the edge. Is government looking at this? Are you getting any support or interest from state, federal?
We are getting interest. So it's interesting. The more people we meet with, the more organizations we meet with, the more we realize that everybody has come to the same conclusion that we need to work together. The question is how. And so we certainly have met with some of our local state representatives who are very interested in solving these problems. Everybody is willing to come to the table. It's really a question of how do we do that? Who are the right partners? And how do we move that forward? And we've just formed this department about 2 months ago, so we're still fairly new in the work. But I will tell you that everybody is behind it. I would also say that funding and funders need to pay attention to this work. Some of the funders that we've been talking to are interested and realize that nonprofits and for-profits and the public sector need to work together, and having funders drive that would be helpful. So the more funding that helps drive collaboration and longer-term outcomes, the more apt it is to work.
You're a partner of Feeding America.
Are they
interested in this?
They are. So they, at the same time that Fill Abundance actually realized we need to do this work, they realized nationally that the more and more food that food banks put out every year, it's not solving the problem. And so they have formed an Ending Hunger Coalition of food bank representatives to share best practices. They are sharing best practices around advocacy, which is also a big part of this. You know, what we're talking about is building a movement that says hunger is unacceptable in this country. We have a person on staff that focuses solely on advocacy, and other food banks do as well. They're starting to meet and get together to focus on how can we support SNAP efforts and making sure that food stamp funding doesn't get cut. You know, what a lot of people don't realize is it's easy to say that people should just go out and get a job. That's easier to say than to do if you don't have the resources to manage your household and get an education and get a job. And at this point, we need to bring the resources to bear to help people do that. When you start cutting resources like food stamps, the only thing may be that is putting the food on the table for kids to go to school or somebody to keep a job. When you start cutting those resources, it just puts more work on the nonprofits like Fill Abundance who are trying to feed these people while they're trying to get their lives together. So cutting resources isn't the answer.
Your executive director, Glenn Wisend, and one of the things he pointed out, and I think most of us forget that, that when we hand out SNAP dollars to a family, we're really handing SNAP dollars to farmers and to retailers.
That is right.
And we're putting it back into the economy.
Into the economy. Yes. That is exactly right.
We're just moving it around and we're funneling it through that family.
That's right. Even if you couldn't take the moral case, it's a good business case. I would say the same thing goes for intergenerational poverty. There are people who, for whatever reason, may not agree with moral food justice, with saying that everybody has a right to healthy food every day. Even if you don't take the moral ground, you've got to take the business case of it's costing us billions and billions of dollars in healthcare and other resources. We have to solve the problem.
What are you looking for from the public at this point? Obviously, funding. Philabundance doesn't run on its own.
That's right. You
and Feeding America can squeeze a dollar better than any organization out there. But what are you looking for from the public as volunteers and business partnerships, et cetera? What are you looking for?
Well, so funding is, of course, important because we are still feeding people every day while we do this larger work. But businesses that have interests either in volunteering with Philabundance, with helping us to get more food, or that are in the business of healthcare or financial literacy or anything to do with finances and are interested in volunteering or partnering, can get a hold of us and we can really talk through what a partnership might look like. There's lots of different ways that people and corporations and organizations can get involved. Just reach out and we'll have the conversation.
Why don't you give us a real quick number of who's out there doing battle for Philabundance? I know that it's a really heavily volunteer organization.
It is. We have about 120 staff members, but we have about 15,000 volunteers from the community every year that help us pack food, sort food, distribute food. Pretty much anything that we need, volunteers are coming in and offering to do, which is amazing.
And that's a lot of manpower hours.
It's probably about $1 million worth a year, which is really helpful to us.
And this really is then a volunteer-driven organization.
It is. We are very lucky to have the community that we have.
So obviously you're making a dent, 90,000 that you serve in a week.
Right.
I know that. Yeah. But the hunger need is so great.
700,000 in our area.
And what's keeping you from doing more?
Well, we need more funding. We need more food. We're doing what we can with the resources that we have. So if we had more healthy food and more funding, we could certainly feed more people, more family, more kids.
You know, we're coming into the summer months. Your need grows, obviously. I think, 400,000 kids will lose their meals when they go out of school.
That's right.
So summertime is a rough time for Philabundance.
That's right. People don't realize how many kids really rely on breakfast and lunch at school or their after-school program. And so Philabundance really is trying to grow our summer meal program, and we're trying to help agencies that offer summer meals to see that if we can get more food out and help feed these kids during the summer.
Now is the time to get involved with this. And the way to do it, of course, is to reach out to Philabundance, philabundance.org. And when you go to your website, you offer a heck of a lot.
There's a lot. So you can look at all the different programs that we run and see if there's one that you're interested in volunteering with. A great example is our Fresh for All program that we run with our agencies. And it's a free farmers market distribution, primarily produce. It's beautiful. We have 18 locations around the Delaware Valley where people come and get fresh bananas and apples and vegetables and bread. And sometimes we have dairy. And it's actually a very community involved event. Community members volunteer at the event. They help to distribute the food. If it's a nice day, there's music playing. We really try to make it as joyful as it can, considering people are standing in line to get the food that they need.
The Philabundance Community Kitchen Program. I'm going to find out more information there.
That's right. And it is on the website. And please contact us. We are always looking for employment partners. And like I said, you get to try out our folks for 2 weeks for free and see if they're a good fit with your business. And mostly they are. Most of the time they're a great fit and they get hired right from their externship.
Well, I think 75% and 70 after 2 years. That's pretty awesome
numbers
for any program.
That's right.
That's all available at philabundance.org. And if you'd like to reach out to Milani, just write to her at endhunger@philabundance.org to get more information about the new campaign, Ending Hunger for Good. And again, philabundance.org. My guest today has been the Chief Impact Officer for Philabundance, Milani Cataldi. Milani, thank you for coming in today.
Thank you so much for having me. Really enjoyed it.
I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Philadelphia Focus.